Hey, good morning, Sower Nation. J.D. Walt here. It is Thursday, September the 18th in the year of our Lord, 2025. Well, this is your wake-up call, and we are now right in the heart of the New Room Conference. We're in Montgomery, Alabama. Of course, if you're watching on YouTube, you're seeing me in my seed house in Gillette, home of the Daily Seed Company. And we're in the thick of New Room, and something tells me it's been going awesome, even here when I'm recording this before I leave for the conference. But and if you're watching, you're seeing me in a beautiful purple t-shirt. I see some of you are kind of craning your necks to see this shirt. I'm going to just kind of stand up here, and you can see it's very elegant. Nate from our team might design this. It's not one of these kind of in-your-face billboard t-shirts. It's kind of elegant. You see in the background, it says, "For the Awakening." It's got the flame. And then on the back, it says, our banner word, "Wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." So, I don't know, I just thought, I want you guys to have one of these. And I'm sure we've already sold out at the conference, but I'm going to put a link in the PS today. It won't be an order link, okay? It's just going to be like, reserve me one in the reprinting, and here's the size I need. So I'm not going to hold you to that, but I'm going to hold you to it, okay? I want your email address and your t-shirt size. And you're like, what? Why are you selling me a t-shirt on here? Because, guys, this is a lifestyle. Awakening is a lifestyle. And it's a lifestyle, and Seedbed is a lifestyle brand. Okay, we're just trying to get God's word out and sown. You know, when the Bible says, write it on your forehead and on your wrist and put it on your doorpost and on your gate, I'm like, well, if they would have had t-shirts, he would have said, put it on your t-shirt, because it's a conversation starter. And I like the way we do it, right? It's not just in your face billboard. It's subtle, it's elegant, it's beautiful. And it's purple. It's incredible. So there's the PS, and just know, guys, you're never going to hear me selling. I'm always sowing. Well, I've taken too much time already on this Thursday. We got to dive in. It's time for consecration. Wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Jesus, I belong to you. I lift up my heart to you. I set my mind on you. I fix my eyes on you. I offer my body to you as a living sacrifice. Jesus, we belong to you. And we're praying in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our entry today is entitled Jesus and the Goat. That's an acronym, G-O-A-T. Many of you already know what that stands for. Our text is Matthew chapter 18. We're reading in we've already read chapter 18 today. I got a note today from Nancy. She said, I'm reading the gospel every day prior to listening to the wake-up call. It's been a blessing. Historically, reading God's word daily has been a challenge, and I fail 99% of the time. I think having the structure of the daily chapter has been the key for me. Now I have direction and I look forward to reading each morning. She's already saying, what can we do after the gospel series? Can I have a weekly list of readings that coordinate that I could be reading ahead of reading the wake-up call? I love that, Nancy. And And good on you. And thanks for encouraging Sower Nation to read the chapter every day. We're going to read the portion of it right here. Matthew 18, verses 1 through 5. Hear now the word of the Lord. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And calling to him a child, he put him in the midst of them and said, "Truly, I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me." The word of the Lord. Now consider this. Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? I saw an advertisement recently with a young boy holding a baseball and a bat. He exuberantly exclaimed, "I'm the greatest hitter of all time." Then he threw the ball into the air, grabbed the bat, and swung for the fence and missed. He repeated this claim, "I'm the greatest hitter of all time." He threw the ball in the air again, and again he swung and a miss. And again he said even louder, "I'm the greatest hitter of all time." And you know what happened. Strike three. He grimaced as he looked down at his feet, and without missing a beat, he shouted, "I'm the greatest pitcher of all time." Something in all of us, no matter how far-fetched it may seem, wants to be the GOAT at something, the greatest of all time. It's why the disciples ask one of the most oxymoronic questions of all time in today's text. Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Who is the greatest? It evokes the very essence of ego, doesn't it? I heard an apt acronym the other day for ego, E-G-O, edging God out. Greatest language activates the cancerous plague of all human cultures, especially internet culture, comparison. It creates a universe of competition where there can be only one winner and an infinity of losers. Heard another acronym the other day. Lies, L-I-E-S, living in ego strength. Chew on that a while. Jesus blows up the question and destroys the category. And calling to him a child, he put him in the midst of them and said, "Truly, I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." In lifting up the child as the example, Jesus is not driving at childlike whimsy with rainbows and unicorns. He is exalting extreme humility. He's crushing status barriers, destroying prestige markers, and otherwise eviscerating any shred of human qualification anyone might bring to the table. And let's be clear, he's not handing out participation trophies to mediocre people. He's passing out divine commendations, and they are in endless supply. With a mere 34 words, he reinterprets the way to greatness from measuring up to measuring down. Step one, to enter the kingdom of heaven, make yourself nothing, like a child. Step 2, to become the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, humble yourself, like a child. Humility is not self-abnegation. It is God exaltation. Humility is not thinking less of yourself. It is thinking of yourself less. Humility is not lowering yourself. It is lifting others up. True humility is becoming so enraptured with Jesus, you've taken on his likeness. His mindset has become your mentality. And isn't what we mean when every morning we enter into consecration and say, I set my mind on you? Humility is a mind frame. We're saying, when we say that, I have the same mind in me that was in Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing. There it is, made himself nothing. And taking on the nature of a slave, being made in human likeness and found in the appearance of a man, he humbled himself. There it is again. After he made himself nothing, he humbled himself. Step 2, and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That's Philippians 2, 5 through 11. Step 1, make yourself nothing. Check all your credentials and qualifications at the door. Step 2, humble yourself. Exalt Jesus. Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? It very well could be you. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I no longer want to be great. I want to be humble. This is a miraculous transformation of ambition. It feels so freeing to let go of all I've tried to make of myself and to realize it is all nothing compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing you and being found in your gifted approval. Until your humility is my holiness, Jesus. Amen. The journal prompts today, what stories of Jesus come to mind that exemplify his notion of what humility looks like? Are your ambitions for greatness shifting into a new frame? What does measuring down look like for you? How about what it means for how you see and assess others? We're going to sing in a minute a great hymn. We're going to sing My Jesus, I Love Thee. It's number 117 in our seedbed hymnal, our great Redeemer's praise. Just thinking about, I was just remembering today the story of David McCullough, who's one of the great authors of our time. And he's got this little writing cabin out down a little path from his house beyond his backyard fence. And there's a sign on the fence right there as you come to the walk that goes on to the cabin. And it says, if you want to come into my writing cabin to get beyond this point, you have to be no taller than this sign. And it's got a little measuring rod, kind of like in an amusement park. You got to be this tall to ride the ride. He's like, if you're taller than this, you can't get in. And it's the size of the height of his tallest grandchild. Isn't that beautiful? You don't measure up to get in this kingdom. You measure down. You got to get lower. You got to let go. You got to shed a lot of the stuff that we've put on over our real self to try to prove that we're worthy. It's so freeing. Just let all that go. Measure down. To become great, become small. Right? Not somehow self-abnegating, not self-deprecating, not none of that. That's a miss. But humble. I think you get the point. And the amazing thing is, like, in Jesus' math, there can be infinite number of greatest. There can be an infinite number of goats, the greatest of all time. It's just become like that child. All right, you ready to sing? Let's sing number 117. It's perfect. Like, of course, my Jesus, I love thee. My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee, all the follies of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior art thou. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. I love thee because thou hast first loved me and purchased my pardon on Calvary's tree. I love thee for wearing the thorns on thy brow. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. I'll love thee in life, I will love thee in death, and praise thee as long as thou lendest me breath. And say when the death dew lies cold on my brow, if ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. Let's take it a notch up. In mansions of glory and endless delight, I'll ever adore thee in heaven so bright. I'll sing with a glittering crown on my brow. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. I mean, there is nobody like Jesus, is there? Who says, stop trying to measure up. Let's measure down. You want to be great, measure down. There's endless room at the bottom. That's so beautiful. Well, it's time to start sowing. We're going to be sowing at New Room today. And I put in the PS again. Guys, if you want to dive in tonight, live stream is... It's a John Tyson, one of our dear friends from Church of the City. They're on Manhattan in New York City. Guys, that's an awakening church. And he's bringing a word tonight. And you can dive into it. Like, I think it's like $19, which is a bargain. And you'll have it. You'll have last night's talk and tonight's talk forever. in case you missed last night with Tara Lee. So, yes, the t-shirt, right? The link, just click on it. Tell me you want one. Tell me your size. It's going to take us, you know, may take us a month to get it to you because we're going to have to order them. We're going to have to ship them and all that. And maybe I'll be in trouble for doing this. But I'm used to being in trouble. Okay, so get your seeds. Here's mine. I'll see you on the field. For The Awakening, I'm J.D. Walt.